Hello, everybody, and welcome again to another edition of Behind Bonaventure, and an honor today as we get to have our first conversation with the new men's basketball coach, Mike McDonald. Mike, of course, coming on board a couple of weeks ago, and I talked to you previously. You had the public, I guess you would call it, reveal of Mike McDonald at the eatery, and talked a little bit about some of the things that go along with this, but I'm obviously you've had a very, very busy few weeks for your first few weeks on the job.
It's been a little bit of a whirlwind, Gary, but it's okay. It's what I signed up for, and it's been good. It's been a lot of fun and great meeting people, reconnecting with people, and it's like yourself, seeing you again, it's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I told you the story. I reminded you of the first time we had a conversation. For those of you who don't know, Mike is a St. Bonaventure alum. And the first time you came to throughout your Canisius team down to play St. Bonaventure, we had a conversation. We do a little recording of the opposing coach before the game. And you kind of dragged me into the hallway and said, let's do it in here. And I said, okay, I'm used to coaches trying to hide so nobody hears what they're going to talk about. And you said, this is where I spent my college years. He were the equipment guy to hand out the equipment for people who wanted to shoot baskets or do whatever at Riley Center. So you were reliving your college days for a few minutes.
In the cage. They don't have a cage anymore. It's disappeared.
Well, let's talk about, obviously, you've had a successful career. This is, how many seasons now have you been a head coach, a basketball coach?
That's a good question. I was 9 at Canisius. I was 8 at Madai. And 12 at Damon. So 29 years. This has been my 30th year as a head coach, which is, wow, it's crazy. Yeah. I started when I was 6, Gary, just so
okay,
you know.
Okay, I wondered about that. All right, but again, you've played all three levels, successful at all three levels of coaching, and again, started out in Division I, went to Division III, Division II, now you're back to Division I. Talk about that journey from 1 to 3 to 2 to 1 again.
So I always talk. I always kind of say, and it's kind of unusual, right? I was a head coach at Canisius at 30 years old. Mm-hmm. I was young. I started. And I always say I kind of coached backwards because I was a head coach at Division I, and then after 9 years, I was fired before I was 40, and let go, and I went down to Division III at Madai, and then ended up getting to Division II. So it's kind of like a lot of people start at 3, go to 2, go to 1. Mm-hmm. I kind of went in reverse order. The thing I've always said too, and I believe it's like when I got let go of Canisius, I had a lot of different ways I could go. Like I could get out of the profession totally. I could have, I had a number of offers to be assistants, like I'd be an assistant at a high major spot. And I had a young family, didn't necessarily want to do that and move around. We had 3 boys, and then my wife was pregnant with our 4th due any day when I got let go. And then the Madai opportunity presented itself. And Madai had been terrible. They were 4-46 in the 2 years prior to us getting there. And I just felt like, you know what, I want to still prove I can coach. It's probably the stubborn Irish in me, right, that wanted to say, I know what I'm doing. I thought it just didn't work out at Canisius for whatever reason, and there are a number of them, but you look at that, and that's part of your experience. That's what mm-hmm. makes you. And so I said, I want to keep coaching. And so I took a Division III job that probably could have been the worst Division III job in the country, and a lot of people tell me don't take it. But the benefit for myself and my family is we didn't have to move, and we could keep our guys there. And the other benefit was I worked with a Bonaventure alum, Pete Lonergan.
That's right.
Pete was the athletic director and the women's coach. And Pete was a guy. It was funny. There were 3 people. Joe Bosquez was the president at the time. He's a LaSalle grad. Pete Lonergan was the athletic director. And the guy who really, really twisted my arm about taking the job was Tom Donahoe, who was the president of the Buffalo Bills.
Okay, yes, who, yes.
Tom was on the board at Madai at the time, and he was like, listen, you're a coach, you should be coaching, you don't want to go sell insurance or do any other stuff that other people do. He goes, you can do that. Now, I probably would have made a heck of a lot more money selling insurance, but Tom was right, and I always have a great respect and admiration and fondness for Tom Donahoe, for him talking to me and convincing me to do that. And then being able to work with Pete was just great. A great guy and great guy to work for, and really got me back into coaching. Going to the Division III level, I compared this, and I've said this before, that I kind of compare it getting sent down to the minors. Right? And the analogy I use is Roy Halladay. Roy Halladay, pitcher, Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Well, if you remember, watch Roy Halladay's career, he was with the Blue Jays and had a great start. He was young, and then he lost it and couldn't throw strikes. And they didn't send him out down to AAA. They didn't send him AA. They sent him all the way down to the lowest A ball. And I kind of feel like, you know, it's something I kind of associate with and I kind of connect with is I got sent down to Madai, but I never looked at it that way. I looked at it like this was a great opportunity for me to keep coaching and life-changing for me. Just, very fortunate to be there. And then after 8 years there, Bridget Nyland, whose dad was Joe Nyland, was a former great Canisius player, and her brother Dave is a coach at Penn State Barrons in Erie. Dave is one of my closest friends. Bridget was the athletic director at Damon, and she asked me if I'd be in. She wanted to make him hire me, and I kind of went back and forth. It was kind of a weird time, and we really loved Madai, but it was chance, and I actually moved closer to our house, which is funny. That's the funniest fact. People talk about the three levels. I lived in one house. I was a Division I head coach, a Division III head coach, and a Division II head coach, all in one house. I don't think that's ever been done.
No, family stability is huge, obviously.
Yeah. So getting a chance to go to Damon was new. I got to go back to some scholarships, dealing with that, and dealing at the Division II level. We were transitioning to Division II, and just, again, life-altering for me. Just a great, great situation, great place, and really very, very, very lucky to have those dozen years at Damon too.
Now, obviously, through all this, not much changes with a basketball coach. You're setting a roster. You're constantly recruiting. You're trying to find players to fit whatever you want to do and get them to play as a unit. And you've been very successful. He had some really good years at Canisius, but then when you went down to Division III and Division II, he had very successful seasons. The last two at Damon, unbelievable seasons, three losses in 2 years. That's not bad.
Well, and everybody forgets about, you know what? Let's go back 3 years. 3 years ago, we were 25-9 and went to the second round of the NCAAs. That's not too bad either, right? But everybody skips out on that one for some reason. That was a great year too. So, yes, you're right. And again, there's two words that sum up why we had that success. Good players. Mm-hmm. And that's always the key for any coach. You have good players. Good players who are unselfish players who wanted to win. And that's been kind of a theme that I've been fortunate to be around is – in my life, is guys who are really good people, who come from good families, who want to win and want to be a part of something special. And I was, blessed to be a part of their journey as they went through their careers. They really helped my journey.
Yeah, and that journey now has landed you in the Southern Tier. Great line when you had the introductory press conference about the fact that your wife wanted you to move south, and you did.
Yeah, so you did move to the Southern Tier.
You promised her you moved south, so you did. 70 miles, but let's talk about this move. Obviously, it is a huge responsibility. You're going to be following a legend, which obviously is something that a lot of people look at. You know, who wants to be the guy that follows Mark Schmidt? And here you are.
Yes, and incredible respect for Mark and what he's done, and what Mark and Anita did and their family did in this area is something that's never going to be topped. And it's just so special. Mark's the greatest coach in Bonaventure history. And a long line of great coaches, Eddie Donovan, Larry Wiese, Jim Satlin, Jimmy Barron. Mark to me is the pinnacle. He's the best. And it's tough to follow a legend. Ironically, in my career, I've kind of made a thing of that because at Canisius, I followed John Beilein, who was the greatest coach in Canisius history. He wasn't the all-time winner, but he was definitely the greatest coach there, without a doubt, for his five-year span. And then at Damon, I followed Don Silveri. Don is a New York State Hall of Famer. Coach Silveri just passed away recently, very sad. But he was, I mean, he was a 400 win guy, all time win leader at Damon, and just a really good coach. So two of the three spots where I've been, I followed a legend. So now I'm 3 for 4. I don't know if it's smart or not, but it's kind of, I guess it's my thing, and it's tough to do. And, but again, we can't worry about that. I have to be myself, and our team has to live up to our own standards, not necessarily the standards that happened before.
All right. You have a little bit of an advantage here this year because over the last 4 years, Mark Smith has had to start over from scratch. He's lost everybody. I think there was one year, the first year that the portal came in, NIL was still
sounds like a horror
away.
Movie, doesn't
it? It is. It does. It is. Right? I'm going back and I'm flashing back here, and it's not good. But anyways, Mark's first year after he had that great team that went to the semifinals, the NIT, they were together 4 years.
Yep.
And those five guys moved on and took everybody with them. And Mark started the season with one guy who played 5 minutes and had 2 points and 2 rebounds. And that was what he had returning. This year, you've got four guys. Obviously, there's a couple that we didn't see because they redshirted for whatever reason. Okay. A couple of guys that did get some playing time. So you've got some experience, but they don't have experience with you and your coaching style. So how'd that first meeting go with the guys who are staying on?
It was great. They're really good kids, right, and good people, and that's what you like. It's... You know, I think, Gary, there's so many levels to look at this. First of all, yeah, you talk about, you know, starting from scratch. Well, funny story, the one night I couldn't sleep, I was up late, and I called one of my assistants, and I said, let me read some numbers to you. And I said, 4.3, 3.2, 2.1, right, 0.0. And he goes, you know what that is? And he goes, I don't know, the NIL budgets, maybe some of the other teams in the league? And I said, no, that's a returning scoring. Yeah. Right here. And I'm like, whoa. And, you know, that can be, you can look at that, but then everybody's saying, you got four back? And this is kind of foreign to me because when I was at Damon, I had the good fortune of being able to have guys back, retain guys, keep guys. I think it probably would have changed some this year. Honestly, I'm confident. I know a couple of our starters would have left, but the, you know, I think, like, it's just the way it is in college basketball. People are like, well, you know, we only have one back or we have none back. And it's like, we have a recruit in from a Power 5 school right now. And he's like, yeah, they have one kid and a walk-on coming back and that's it. And it's different. It's different. You have to learn to adapt. It's not something we all like, especially anybody with gray hair, like people in this room, maybe. you don't get used to it, and you're like, but if you sit around and mope about it and complain about it, it's not going to get better. We have to understand this. Listen, I don't begrudge any of the players. They have to, you know, they have the right to go to the transfer portal. I made the joke the other day, like, I went in the transfer portal too, right? Mm-hmm. I transferred from Damon to St. Bonaventure.
That's right.
So I'd be hypocritical if I begrudged anybody from going to improve their situation. I get it. Mm-hmm. What we want to try and do is be able to retain as best we can. Going back to your original question where I just started wandering off, which I like to do. The first meetings were great. The guys were, you know, very receptive to wanting to be here. I do think there were guys that I met with. I tried to meet with everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think I met with some guys that, honestly, were going in the transfer portal, whether
right,
Mark Schmidt was a coach, whether Mike McDonald was a coach, whether Tom Izzo, Coach K, or John Wooden was a coach. They were going to go. And I get it. You know, that's their right, and that's what they should do. But the other guys who are coming back, they've been good, and they've been really working hard. I mean, we have Ilya, who you mentioned, who didn't play a lot last year because he had redshirted, and John, who redshirted last year, so he didn't play at all. Joe Grahovac. Mm-hmm. Did you know that's how he pronounced his name, Grahovac? Did you know that? Because it was everybody was saying Grahovic, right? And he said they announced it that way, but it's really Vac. And I said, so we have to. I made him come down and tell the sports information people that we have to pronounce it right. It's his name, right? So he's back, and then Achille was around last year too, playing. So we have some guys who've been here, who have some experience, have played a little bit, and You know, I think that's kind of commonplace. We're going to have to put a roster together and get some guys with some experience and then add those guys in. So it'll be interesting, and it's always part of it.
Yeah, now you've been able to add a couple of players who have announced that they're going to be in, and you've got your staff. And that, I think that was the first big thing you had to do, is you had to find, you know, I can't do this by myself. I got to get my staff ready.
To get your staff. Everybody hasn't signed off on background checks, so I have to be careful what I'm talking about. We can do another one of these and go through each guy individually. But for now, I kind of got started to do it one day. And I'm like, oh, you can't say anything. So I learned when to shut up. But the we do have a very good staff. We have a good mix of veteran and youth. We have a good mix of some NBA experience, some college experience, some high major experience, a little bit of everything. So that, I think, is nice to have, you know, and that'll be coming out shortly, I think. And that's important. You're right. That was the first order of business, was do that, help get that staff in order, and then in the meantime, keep recruiting and trying to get some guys. So we have two officially committed. We have others close, or not officially, but you know,
well, we'll be getting those names in the coming weeks as the team forms. Now, when you look at a team, obviously you're in a major recruiting time right now. The portal obviously is open. Agents are calling. You're calling agents. Woj is I don't know what Woj is probably getting like an hour's sleep at night now trying to get this team formed. But what do you look for in a recruit when you go out and recruit, or when you have your assistants go out? What do you look for?
So we're looking for guys, the general overarching thing. We want guys who, number one, are good students that can do the work here. I think some of the things that's lost, I was just talking to a guy upstairs, that's lost in this whole, there are two things that get lost in this portal era, I should say, is one is academics. Nobody really talks about academics anymore. And to me, that's wrong, because we are St. Bonaventure University. Mm-hmm. We're not the St. Bonaventure Bonnies that play in the NBA. We are St. Bonaventure University Bonnies, and we have to make sure we emphasize that you're coming here to go to school and get a great education. Okay. The other thing I think that's lost sometimes is winning. Mm-hmm. That people don't focus on that. They focus on, what can I get? So we're looking for guys who, education is important. Winning is important. Right? Those are very important things. We like guys who are good people, right? And it's tough. This is, somebody made the quote, like, it's like speed dating. I said, I haven't done speed dating, but it's kind of like speed dating, where you boom, we do a Zoom, and then they're coming here to campus, and we're spending 24 to 48 hours with them, and then we're hoping we get them. And, you know, you're vetting them as well as you can between their high school coaches, their AAU coaches, their current college coaches. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's multiple layers on Smith, the stops on the way. But it's a different world. There's no doubt about that. The I think for us, too, when we get to the basketball skill specific, we like shooters. Mm-hmm. Right? The old saying is shooters won the war. Right? So you want shooters. You want guys who can pass and catch. Obviously, I think you need size. I thought, you know, Michigan really showed it this year by being big. Mm-hmm. Right? Big across the board. Their three-man was playing center last year at UAB, and now all of a sudden he's a three-man. I think when you can have size like that and be big, it can help you protect the rim. It can help you do some things defensively. And if their skill level is good, or at least is developing, you know, they can play away from the hoop. You can create some space. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we want to try and do, is get some size with us. I think that's important.
Everybody seems to have a system. A coach has a system. I know that if you're a Syracuse fan, you know that Jim Boeheim recruited people who could play his 3-2 zone. And that was the first thing they had to do. You could be great offensively. You could be terrible offensively, but you better know how to play this 3-2 zone. Do you have any particular style or anything you like to do, or do you adapt to who you recruit, or what's your philosophy?
I think one of the things we've gotten better as coaching staff through the years is really playing to the strength we have, right, and the people we have, and playing to their strengths. And I think you have to do that. Yes, there are certain things we like. You know, we like shooters, like I said, but we've had teams that maybe don't shoot it as well. We like to play man-to-man defense, But there are years we've had to play some zone because, you know, just we weren't good individual defensively, a couple of guys who could maybe guard individually. So I think you have to adapt to what you have. You know, I think real leadership is aligning strengths so that weaknesses become irrelevant, right? So we have to figure out what the guy's strengths are, play to those strengths, and then their weaknesses really don't matter as much. I think you can, I think if you can do that, that's got to be one of our missions kind of going forward. I think especially in this era, right, where you're not watching a guy develop and maybe you can help shape him into becoming the kind of player you want. You're taking somebody who might be ready-made, who might be a senior, fourth or fifth year in college already, and this is it for them, and this is who they are. And it's tough to change them in 9 months. So we have to figure out what they do well and play to their strengths off of that. And I think that that's part of the way you have to play in this era.
Yeah, it's and again, we've seen that more and more. You know, people coming in, they come from sometimes a great program, sometimes they're a great individual player, but you get all these guys together, and then you got to do the team chemistry type thing. And obviously, that's I think that's the toughest part, is making this into a cohesive team.
Yep, that's the goal, right? Because in the end, all the other stuff doesn't matter. We want to be a team, and I think that's important that you're making that connection. And listen, when I was at Damon, we had 1 year players. We had two really good 1 year players who I'm very close to still, who are close, they're part of the team, they're close to my family, everything. And I think that, you know, that it can be a thing. Like you can be here for a year and you can have a 1 year and it's a great deal. But, you know, you still want to make sure you have the right kids who can fit in and understand that even if you're here for a year, in reality, it's 9 months maybe. You know, you want to make sure during that 9 months, right, that you're a great teammate, you're fitting in, you're connecting with your teammates, not looking there. That's really, I've said this before and I'll say it again. What we're trying to do is eliminate, we don't want Bonaventure to be just a bus stop, right, where people come here for 9 months and then they move on. And sometimes they will. Sometimes that'll happen. But we want to try and get people who want to be at Bonaventure, who want to be connected here, who want to stay here, that realize this is a special place. I mean, there are very few schools in the country whose fans are as rabid as the Bonnies. I know you guys know that.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I think that is something special. And there are kids who we've talked to, who, you know, we're recruiting, who are at Power 5 places who don't get the fan base that we do, don't get the turnout that we do. And, yes, we may be a little bit lower where, you know, the Atlantic 10s, 6th or 7th right there. It's not that far away from the Power 5. But if they say, well, it's not Power 5, yeah, but you know what? What we don't have in football money and SEC and all that, we do have in a fan base that cares about basketball and basketball only, right? It's not getting caught up in that spreading the wealth by worrying about football and things like that. We're caring about basketball.
Yeah, the fan base, the alum base, kind of proved that with the special day of giving yesterday, with a new record of donations. So obviously, the fan base is there, and not only in the seats, but they're also supporting the programs. And obviously, basketball, men's basketball, has been probably the bell of the program.
And we understand that. We get it. That the Bonnies are important, right? People care, and the men's basketball team is important here. All the other teams are important too, but men's basketball, we understand, becomes the focal point sometimes. And you know what? When the men's basketball team is doing well, the university tends to do well. The community of Ole and Allegheny.
There's surveys that
everybody's happy, right? And so our job—that's a responsibility. We understand that responsibility, and we don't hide from it. We don't shirk it. We embrace it, and we understand that, you know what, we want to make sure that we do everything we can to have a successful team, and a team that the alumni, the current students, and the community are proud of.
And one thing that has happened over the last few years is the effort to get some of the former players back on campus to talk to players, talk to fans, things like that. Obviously, it's an ongoing thing for everybody, but it seems to be something that Bonaventure has been concentrating on the last few years.
We were, I don't think you were at my press conference, but Andrew Nicholson was there.
Right.
And Andrew Nicholson actually asked a question. He's going after your job. You better watch out.
I know.
He's not coming for me. He's going for you.
Andrew and I talk from time to time. Yeah. So I told him, I said, all right. I said, I don't know if the color job's open this year, but I said, when you decide to retire, maybe you can come down here for 30 games or so.
He was great. And he talked about with the former players. And I think that's a huge thing for this community, right? For our guys to see, because especially in this day and age, right, where it's you're going to go from school to school to school. If you come here and you see and you get to meet guys like Andrew Nicholson, mm-hmm. right, and so many guys I've talked to, I talked to Shandu McNeil yesterday, I talked to Tom Boney the other day, mm-hmm. various eras we're trying to do. We had a great meeting on Saturday. Bubba Gary
was in the
gym. He was here celebrating his 25th anniversary with his wife mm-hmm. and decided to come out here and just was up in the RC walking around, and I bumped into him, introduced myself, we talked, it was great.
Yeah.
And, you know, he could talk about how important Bonaventure was in his life. And these guys can talk about what St. Bonaventure meant to them. And I think when our guys see that, that will open some eyes. And so we're going to try and do something this summer. We bring some of the former players back, get them, connect them with our guys here. And it can't be just 20 minutes you spend talking to somebody. We want it to be a connection that they have, and that somebody they can talk to mm-hmm. and be around and get to know. And because those guys, they were here. They were here for 4 years. They were good times and bad, right? Mm-hmm. Snowstorms and sunshine. It didn't matter, right? It didn't matter. They were here. But when they when they left here, they took Bonaventure with them. And I think we want one of these our guys on our team to realize how important it is to take Bonaventure with you when you leave.
All right, Mike, once again, welcome back and to the Southern Tier, and we wish you all the success. I know we're going to be talking a few times over the summer, but I really can't wait until November we get that first team on the floor.
Thank you, Gary. I can't wait, too. We got a lot of time, though, so to get there. What's great is you have this big yellow legal pad in front of you.
Your name.
You have one question. No questions. That's it. You just let me ramble. So I appreciate that.
Okay, Mike McDonald, again, congratulations. Good luck this year. And we'll have you on Behind Bonnies a couple of times this summer.
Thank you very much. Go Bonnies.